tied to social relationships and maybe catharsis and theater and spectacle and emotional relationships. And it doesn't look like this, like me and you, you know, you seeing me in this box, this thing. It's not going to look like that in the next generation. And all of us has nodes in distributed network, trading signals, tokens, metadata, nested storylines is a part of a force field system that is part of the computation, right? And so a parallel economy could be like massive parallel processing, right? And a parallel is also a twinning, really. You have two lines running in parallel. So you have the mainstream and then the one following in parallel. And that's exactly what Bernard Leiter, the creator of the euro, had been setting up for a very long time. Again, with Galil Albarnartzi at Bancor and doing these token liquidities, which is as much about biophysics and consciousness physics, I don't know what that would be, as it is about econophysics. And we need to understand that. And that's why Bretton Woods 75, that gathering was so important. That's why Charles Eisenstein being there and John Rogers being there and Michaela Uluru being there and the global investment banks and all of those people being in that room mattered, because the parallel economy was coming and they needed the people who thought they were playing one game, right? Our game is the anti-World Economic Forum game. That's the game we're playing. They're the bad guys and we're the good guys. And that's the game. And we're going to like duke it out on that, like every white paper and everything. We've got this, right? But then they're nested within a bigger game, because as they are fighting the thing that they think is the game, then there's this other game, which means the more you push back the thing that you think you understand, you're walking into the parallel economy, which is the networked and computer. Okay. And you're emitting tokens, right? And you can see how the resistance has been set up all along, right? Problem, reaction, solution. Oh, you're deplatformed? Go to Rockfin. Go to Rumble. Go to BitChute. Go to these ones. Go to the Odyssey. Go to the ones, the library that have the tokens, right? Because those are the good kind, right? Problem, reaction, solution. Now, again, people who think that they're very, very savvy are not seeing that perhaps the thing that they embraced and set up was the actually where they wanted everybody to be in the first place. Right? Oh, we're going to have school choice, right? We're going to get everybody out of the government schools. We're going to do these other things. That's free agents. Now, I think I'm working on a big piece now around this wellness company that's going to link to health savings accounts as being essentially the vouchers for school choice. This is the healthcare choice. So that's, you know, the problem reaction solution is in play. And again, I'm not telling people that they're stupid. I'm saying like, we don't know what we know until we know it. But then I think we should keep stopping and self-reflecting on where we're actually headed and what game we're in. So, you know, if you would like to play the wellness company or the Rockfin attention economy token and computer game, because you like them and you like consuming that content, you like taking those supplements, you like whatever, I'm not going to be here to say you're stupid sheep and you shouldn't be doing that, because that's not my place at this point. Because I think once you do that, then you're energetically entangled in a certain game that also doesn't feel good. So I'm not saying that. Like, what I'm trying to do is point out the rooms that people are being guided into and what the consequences are, because I think the consequences are more complex, and that mostly people are going from an emotionally reactive state, which they're being kept off balance on purpose. And so pay attention. I don't know. I'm sure that there are people who are better with the gematria stuff, but just even 2024 is 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 4 = 8. And you've got infinity, you've got the Mobius, and you've got the twinning. So somebody just put on my attention one of these, like, it's a talk. It was definitely a culture war talk. It was centering the anti-woke. We're building our parallel economy. It was totally focused on this parallel economy talk. We're building our anti-woke. But we need to know for sure that those people aren't just slapping a sticker saying they're anti-woke and they don't really believe it. Maybe they're just grifting on it, right? And so they're like, how could we, can you imagine how we could possibly figure out who the authentic anti-woke people were versus the people who were just coasting? Maybe we could have a digital identity system with some reputation scoring, right? Because how are we going to trust if you're really anti-woke? Like maybe there should be a leaderboard, right? Like maybe we should have these products. And we have products that we know that they're really the anti-woke products, like the, you know, pro-life diapers, but they might need like an authentication. Does that sound a little bit like ESG, but just on the flip side? Kind of does, doesn't it? Right? Because this is all about value-based modeling. And the value-based modeling is the signal, right? So as long as they keep you in that unit, and they're fine with Leotard, again, having Leotard wanted the main economy and the parallel economy. He said that. He wanted an ecology of tokens because the tokens are the signal and the storytelling of your values. And so you can tell by the trading of the signal tokens, whether those are badges or whether those are payment infrastructure or whether those are wellness behaviors. All of those tokens tell a story about the individual and the individual embedded in the environment and the collective. So, you know, I had, you know, someone reached out and everybody is still really in the authoritarian. And I would say they need the authoritarian story to drive you into the decentralization story. It's their polar opposites, right? They create the threat to give, and then the solution you devise is actually maybe is the parallel economy what the new normal was always meant to be. And I would say yes. And I would say that's an example of the freedom cells from the very beginning. In my initial conflict with John Bush and Derek Rose pushing blockchain and crypto from the very beginning, it's been very, very consistent for me. Because ultimately, the cells are all connected in this. It is the, you know, what's helped me understand this so much is Michael Levin's work. And, you know, I appreciate at least he's honest about it. You know, and it's quite fascinating because I've been looking into some of Foster Colson's wellness company work. Well, actually, it's not the wellness company. Pardon me, that's wrong. It is his position with Q Biologics, Q U, and then Biologics. And they're working on boosting the immune system, right? And the company is working with Karolinska Institute. And so if you look up Karolinska Institute, which I did, they're actually a very prominent medical university in Sweden. And the group that's doing the research, again, around anti-inflammation and cancer, it's all cell-to-cell communication. And it's the gap junctions. And that's exactly what Levin is working on. And in fact, Michael Levin in the past has said stuff like, hey, you know, we could cure all these things if we could just figure out how to communicate with the cell collective. And then we could tell them what to build. And then we could cure cancer with our morphic fields, right? And so that's an interesting idea because that seems to be very much in line with what at least the folks, the partners, Q Biologics is hanging out with over there at Karolinska Institute. Very similar. Now, what Michael Levin also said is what's interesting about the gap junctions, which is also part of the fascia and the communication, the extracellular matrix, is that there are mechanisms that you know what is you and what isn't you, right? Like what's inside and what's outside. And there's the membrane, right, of what's going in and what's going out, and there's regulation happening, so you know what to let in and what to let out. But if you can manipulate the gap junctions, you can trick the cell into thinking the thing that's in it was something that actually came from the outside. Which is actually very interesting when you think about these ideas. You're like, but wait a minute, that digital wallet with the freedom token was my idea. Was it? Maybe the gap junction just got in there and like made you think it was your idea, but it was coming from somewhere else, right? You know, the message is coming from inside the house. So I'm just cautioning people, like, this is how I'm asking you to think about it. And I know that it's difficult because it's a lot of different ideas, right? And someone the other day asked me for like the second grader version, and I can't give you the second grader version because I've got this many things of maps to try to talk about, and I can't slow down to do the second grade version. So there's part of it that, you know, there's days that I kind of wouldn't mind a mind meld. I mean, not really, not a nanoparticle mind meld, but to be able to articulate to people what's in my head, how I can see, that's why I did that video, I talk in maps, right? Like this is my unit here. You think about it. I'm asking you, I'm not asking, but if you're over here in this corner, it's not the beginner course, but you can immerse yourself and get it. If you vibe with the material, you will be drawn into it and you will spend time, and then you too will come, and it won't be because I spoon fed it to you, like little bits. Like it's sort of like everything all over all at once, right? And you jump in, and then if you jump in, you're like, oh, this water is too cold, I don't like this, whatever. And then you go and you'll go, and that's okay. I'm not after every single person. Like it's a frequency thing, I really think. And I can't do it differently than I'm doing it. I'm not trying to do it to make it hard. But this is sort of Socratic seminar. Like that's what I enjoy most. It's like, here's some pieces, here's some idea. Could the parallel economy be twinning? Could it be this twinning process? And I and massive parallel computing, which I think it is. So again, I would just say, think about the idea of authoritarianism leading to parallelism. But that maybe ultimately, and there could be, like I said, if it's nested games, parallelism could be leading to the next thing, or maybe it swings back to authoritarianism and parallelism. But, and I could be wrong, but this is, if there was lots of people in the online social media space unpacking complexity and really thinking about it the way we've been thinking about it, and then coming to a different conclusion, I would be interested in hearing that, but they're not talking about it. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we will realize that the conversations that are happening online, they haven't progressed very much. They tend to be very narrow and reactive and keeping people in a certain lane. And I've seen that from the very beginning. They keep people in a certain lane. Now, I'm all over the place, and I don't know everything all over the place, but like I'm the master of like the pin board and the yarn, right? And that's how I work. Now, I'm not telling you you're a bad person if you don't work that way. That's how I work. But in retrospect, you can see that the social media streams, it's channeling. It's like water. You've got to, they're keeping people in a riverbank, and there's a little overflow and a little sloshing here and there, but they're going in a direction. And I think that direction is parallel economy 2024. And then what does that mean? I think most people wouldn't think it's the ant computer. And again, who am I to judge the ant computer? If you would like to go and get a health savings account and do your biofield tuning, and it's all tracked on your token things and your evidence-based medicine, so it can say that your lower back pain or your mental health state is improved, and you like that, and you're then okay. Who am I to say you're not allowed to have your wallet and your biofield tuning paid with your health savings account or your UBI? You know, if and all of that data going to feed some larger network system. It's probably not fair of me to do that, but like it would probably be good for you to know that that's what's happening, but I shouldn't judge. Like ultimately we're embedded in culture. If we imagine everything about culture as authoritarian, like is it authoritarian that today I went and took a bunch of stuff to the dump and I stayed like on the one-way road, I rode the right direction on the one-way road. Was that authoritarian? Because I live in a society that directs you, like certain things are directed a certain way. And then at what point do we say, oh, that's too far, right? And clearly during the lockdowns, that was too far. But the too far, I think, was set up to us like swing the pendulum the other way, right? Swing to decentralization, swing to free agency, swing to libertarianism, swing to anarchism, anarcho-capitalism. It's about the signal, right? You can be anarcho-capitalist. You can be a leftist. You can be anything you want as long as we know where the signal is coming from and what the metadata is attached to it. I've been saying this for a while. And that is different than most of these stories. Now, if you don't like this story, you don't have to be here. And I could be wrong. Like I said, I'm willing to go back later and say, oh, well, that wasn't it. Actually, the parallel economy, I don't know, like what I would even say, because clearly the parallel economy is a reaction against the perception, the built-up reaction to authoritarian policies. The other thing is, I would say, I just want to say, I have issues with language these days, because I think, what does that mean? Like, oh, that word, I do not think it means what you think it means, right? There are limits to language. And so in this world that I think it's not just going to be a tokenized ant computer, but it's going to be a hypnagogic psychic ant computer embedded in your fascia and your dream state with other people in like live action role play super drama. Like, it's going to be some kind of wacky live action computing performance system, right? The how are we going to bring that information from the field? Because I'm increasingly believing that, that this is a field, right? Our senses keep us in the reality as we understand it. And that's something I really got out of the Adrian Chakowski books about like children of time and children of ruins, about the spiders, right? What happens if you have a highly sophisticated society that is not human, that has different sensing mechanisms, and that they have these understandings that they bring along with them in terms of Lamarckian epigenetics, right? The world of the spiders was very different. And it's very clear he knows what's going on because the spiders tame the ants to make an ant computer, right? They sense with vibration, not vision, right? Why was Alexander Graham Bell so interested in Helen Keller? I mean, why is Jim Sorensen so connected to the deaf community, right? When your sensing is altered from the norm, your connection into the section of reality that we're inhabiting is a little bit different. Why are they so interested in coming up with a virtual reality that will dampen our natural senses and project us in? I think it is about astral projection, sort of on demand into this computing system, right? And so, but it wasn't, Tchaikovsky's books weren't just about the sensing, it was also language. So the second book had the octopi, right? And one of the scenes that really stood with me is that there was a human and an octopus. And octopi were very intelligent. And the octopi were really sad for the people that they were limited to verbal language and that they didn't have this amazing fluidity of skin texture and photonic changing of light and power. Like, it was pretty, they're like, those poor people, like, their ability to communicate is like this big, right? And like octopi are like this, right? And that's synesthesia. And so the thing that's coming is a push towards neurodiversity and synesthetic thought. And I think initially, like a lot of the mimetics, right? Like, why do we do TikTok? I mean, I don't do TikTok, but why is our attention span teeny tiny now? And it's a little video thing. Like, it's not just a picture or a GIF or a meme. It's like a little video. It's a motion thing. That's a signal. And that's like a consciousness tracking device, a consciousness entrainment device. And of course, they call it TikTok, right? And Jeffrey Yass's company, Susquehanna Investment Group, was one of the main investors in that. TikTok, oscillation, get you entrained. But then when you pull the information back out, how do you do it? Do you dance it like an octopus? And that's what I told this person. I said, I don't think authoritarian, it helps with polarity, but it doesn't actually help us understand. Like, what do we have to say? Decentralized authoritarianism? Like, because, I keep going back and forth with Jason about this. Oh, it's authoritarian, but it's decentralized. But when it crosses this line or this much, it is or it isn't. Like, it's loose. And so those concepts, when we pretend that they're firm, they put us in opposition to one another. And like, I wish there was another word. Like, could we invent another word? Maybe collectively, but language doesn't work if you make up a word and nobody else uses it, right? So the spoken language and written language is small. And increasingly, the synesthesia is going to be bigger to bring things forward from the field. It's going to look differently. And you know, I didn't realize the extent to which linguistics was central to computing, right? I mean, I didn't quite understand like Noam Chomsky, right? Like, oh, why was Noam Chomsky at MIT for all those years? Oh, it's the center of supercomputing, like the computing infrastructure and the and the digital economy, right? And then he winds down his time at MIT. And where does he go? He goes to the University of Arizona in Tucson, where Hameroff is there working on his consciousness stuff. I think there's a lot of people that do know. And again, they're in the shed building the game that we're going to walk into. And we're like, I'm doing my freedom tokens or whatever. And like, maybe you'll love doing that. And you'll never grok to the fact that maybe that something in the gap junction tucked that in your brain and it wasn't you. And it's okay, because if we're in the field and it's everything everywhere all at once and there's all of you doing all of the things, maybe you're just doing what you're meant to do here, right? And I'm just doing what I'm meant to do here. And it kind of keeps changing up. So, but for me, if once I put down the like, it's frustrating. Like, I would love for people when I say, stop, it's not authoritarian, it's decentralization. And then people are like, no, but like you said this and it could be authoritarian. And I'm like, why do you need it to be authoritarian? It could be some other word. Isn't there a better idea about it? Like I've been hammering on about it. Like, do we still need to back in? And I think part of the backing in is that the other piece is the hero part. The hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, George Lucas. I mean, I'm in my 50s. Like, we've been conditioned all the way. I mean, in the Westerns, you know, the racist Westerns back in the day, everybody's the good guy and the bad guy and the force. And you pick your side and you want to be the hero. Look at the Marvel franchise. And it's easier to be a hero if there's a cabal. It's easier to be a hero if the enemy is up there and you know them, right? Now, if you said that, okay, you're supposed to go in and get, like, resolve some problematic situation, but the thing you're resolving, the more you fight it, you enhance its power, and it's actually everywhere, right? And every choice you make gets embedded and folded into it, right? Your strategies would look different. And that's where I'm at now. I think that actually this decentralization and computer thing is the thing that I'm concerned about. Now, like I said, people are entitled to play ant computer game. And I'm not going to say you're a bad person or a stupid sheep if you play the ant computer game. Bad, bad. I just don't want to play the ant computer game. And I think there are some people who probably wouldn't want to play it if they knew more about it, which is why I keep like talking about it. So we like to be the hero. I mean, probably some people occasionally like to be the bad guy, but we like, because it gives our life meaning, right? Like we show up, things happen. Most people want to do the right thing. And again, culture tells you what the right thing is. In culture, you could imagine all of culture as being authoritarian, but most of us agree to it unless we're total outsiders. And I've never actually been that much of an outsider until like later. How does authoritarian play with the hero? And then once you want to be the hero, they can kind of use that energy to steer you through the game, like through the labyrinth. And again, maybe you're a willing participant and maybe you're an unwilling participant, or maybe you're an oblivious participant, but it's easier to have the dyad of the evil cabal and the good hero, right? And I kind of wanted to be the hero. I mean, I didn't tell myself like, Allison, you're going to be the hero, but society said, when the bad guys, Goldman Sachs, want to turn the children into financial derivatives products and they're going to short them, put them on these tables, that's bad. And it was bad. I still think it's bad. I'm not saying that it's good, but I took on that mantle of doing the saving, and I wasn't going to be able to actually change that course in the field, in the material reality of the school board meeting. I didn't understand how big the thing was. Now, I feel like now that I'm starting to understand this quantum game theory, that there are ways like through your heart field, which is really important in all of this, like your heart and your gut, to actually energetically intervene in the field itself, right? And so I'm not saying like give up and just be a nihilist and give in to the bad guys, but like you have to, I think that I've said this for a while without fully understanding the premise, but the engagement is in the behind that isn't in the material reality. It's in the energy field. And again, I was never like crunchy or loopy or any of these things. I'm not saying this in terms of like a woo-woo thing. I'm saying in terms of like high level quantum physics. And the more and more I look, that's where the game is. It's in high level consciousness studies and physics and spirituality and our biology as an intuitive liquid crystal interface. And so that's where I've arrived at. But it's you know, the little room that I've carved out is like, I don't know, like maybe a yurt, like off in the parking lot of the conference. It's not the main, it's certainly not the keynote hall or the keynote presentation. So to sort of reiterate, things to pay attention to, like how language structures how we're allowed to think about things, right? Because I think that plays into the push for synesthesia in altered states of consciousness. And I think it relates a lot to the literacy impact bonds and the early literacy and building baby brains, because I think that the psychic and computer would like to get us in mental states that are not limited by language. And, you know, again, some days I wouldn't mind like just being able to like, could I just do a brain dump into somebody? So some like, you know, there's a, just a small handful of people who are holding as much information as I am that we can actually play the puzzle thing together. But yeah, I would love to be able to, like, if I just could do a kind of, like, not to have to be totally consensual, but if you wanted a brain dump, like, it would be convenient and efficient, right? But we don't have that. So I'm stuck here giving stupid YouTube talks. Language is limiting. There is something about being able to, like, could I tell you my gut feeling and articulate it? You know, could I paint you? I mean, I guess that's why the arts and culture, Mark Johnson saying that, that in participatory art and culture, theater, symphonies, all of these things are the message of the spheres, I think, that's coming. So, you know, I can see in some days, like, it would be nice to be able to have people who are, and again, I'm not saying smarter, just like who have, are holding the same amount of information that we can compare notes, but that's hard. and yeah, so think about how language limits us and think about like being really invested in a certain one idea or a certain like word, how that positions you, because then once you have that anchor, I think you can be strategically managed a little bit more. And then I would say, like, think about this parallel economy coming and think about the problem reaction solution and yeah, I think that's all the things I had to say. But again, there's not a lot of people talking about complexity and emergence. And we've been slogging it through from step to step, right? From impact finance to the tokens to the consensus, and like now we're off on collective thought fields, and consciousness and maybe quantum physics. And yeah. Not everybody wants to play in the sandbox, and yeah, that's cool. I'm not here to convert everybody to come play in my sandbox. I'm not looking to be the keynote speaker of this game. I'm not looking to be that. But I would just say, if think about it, right? And you don't have to decide. You don't have to decide now how you think, feel about it. Just let these things percolate if you choose. About the parallel economy, about the limits of words, how words structure our consciousness and then make us subject to like being like put off, I think, emotionally, because this is the last thing I wanted to say. So it's easier to polarize if you have, even if you don't know all the names of the bad guys, like you have this like abstract bad guy up there. it's harder if it's diffuse throughout the field, right? And so when I've been thinking a lot about the Everything Everywhere All at Once movie and about the multiverse, and that is situated within, like, it's a Chinese American family, immigrant family, laundromat. And so there is a thread that runs through that about one of the, like, her heroic identities is a martial arts person. It's opera, so frequency and martial arts. And looking at, again, Ben Goertzel and looking at all of the AI people, I think that they're actually very interested in Eastern medicine, energy medicine, meridians, clearly, you know, in meditative practice, chi, prana, like that's, I think that actually trumps their self-assembling particles. But the self-assembling particles work if we're off balance. And so the Eastern side of things, is there something to be learned there, right? Is there something, this morning I have these bathroom rugs that are like heavy loop cotton ones, and they're kind of plush, but when you wash them, they weigh like 80 pounds. They hold so much water. And I have this old Speed Queen washing machine, old, you know, and it was off kilter. Like they had not placed the rugs. There were two of them. They were off balance. And the whole thing was like, rah, you know, and I'm running down the basement going, ah, you know, because we're trying to sell the house like next month. And I'm like, please, I don't want to break the washer, you know? And it futzed itself out in the rinse cycle. And then I had to go down and like, and then I tried to turn it on and it wasn't going to turn on. And I'm like, oh no. And it's kind of like the reboot. I'm like, start over. And so I started the whole cycle over. And I was going through my some of my basement stuff, the pencils and, you know, like all these things that you have to do when you move, like, you know, all of the files and the old Christmas cards. I'm sifting and I'm hearing the washer in the other, in the back of the basement. And I'm hearing it go through because I really don't want it to be broken. And it's getting kind of close. And I'm here, woo, 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 woo. I'm like, oh, you can do it. So I'm like, I go back, I lift the lid, slow down. Then you can make it. I literally am putting intentional imprint on the washer. I'm like, you can do it. You can do this. And so it pauses. I'm like, oh, geez, it's not working. And then it picks right back up, right? And then I just kind of sat with it. I'm like, you'll be all right. You can do this. You can do this. It's balanced, right? You get balanced. And then it did make it through the second wash cycle. So I could put it in the dryer, which yay me. But to me, this was like a symbol of the balance of if you're dealing again with a diffuse energetic field, I think the way we engage with it will be different than an abstracted point in a distance that we point at and yell at. And then we reinforce our identity against the yelling at the dot out there versus knowing that we're embedded in an environment of something that is emergent and complex. And that is we're in the field. So the energy of our own consciousness dances and plays with the field. And to know that social media itself is really seeding consciousness for the ant computer. I mean, I've talked about that in the past and that whole Celia Substack nonsense. But those seeding of group minds is part of it. And again, I'm not gonna shake my finger and say bad. It just is. I think we can see that it is. So anyway, so I am Jason is back from his camping trip. And I think on maybe tomorrow, we're going to screen the first conversation that we're going to do about fascia. And again, fascia is the all like not just the stuff that holds your body together, but it's this liquid crystal computing mechanism, which I think is integrally connected to the field and part of this larger noetic, cathartic performance LARPy ant computer game. So again, I'm just trying to emphasize, yeah. So maybe talking about like, if you want to tell me that like you're convinced that it's authoritarian, then maybe we just put that word away and we don't use that word for now. And we come up with some other word because I'm feeling limited. And I feel like if you could get in my brain and understand what I'm talking about, these bigger ideas, we wouldn't have to argue about the small thing because that small thing of like, I guess to a certain extent, it's useful to know what's your strategy. Is it like the point in the distance or is it everything around you? It's like how you're reacting. But then just figure that out and see what feels right. I mean, like ultimately you do you. For me right now, the energy field feels right. And so this is what I'm walking through out in this very unstable time in my own personal life is to imagine it. Again, holding on to the idea of magical realism and also like the trickster energy, right? Does it have to be Darth Vader or could it just be the coyote? And sometimes the coyote does tricky things because you're supposed to grow into a new space, right? Like the trickster isn't always the evil guy. It's like sometimes it's an uncomfortable growth process. So anyway, more questions than answers, but those are my thoughts today on language, the parallel economy as the ant computer, and our how we engage with the energy fields. And anyway, hopefully you got something out of that. And look for it tomorrow. I think we'll have our first fascia conversation that will ultimately blend in with Greek mythology and quantum psychiatry linked to computational biology or something like that. Anyway, bye everybody.
This just happened. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. And our lead story today, the world isn't prepared for what just happened in China. And you're not going to believe what's going on there and why policymakers around the world are telling Beijing they need to do something and do it now. Because it's not just what's going to happen to the Chinese economy that matters. It's how it's going to have a negative impact all across the world. Now, let's go to Bloomberg, where he picked today's story up with a headline, China's Lunar New Year pork gloom exposes deep economic trouble. You might be wondering, why does pork matter here in terms of China's economy? Well, it matters in a big way, because what happens in China ultimately spreads around the world. Now, we keep hearing that the U.S. economy and parts of the global economy are immune to these effects in China. The reality is, as you're going to see here in a minute, they're not immune at all. But in Beijing's Eximen market, the vendors are struggling. Though pork prices have fallen about a fifth compared to a year ago, the vendors are selling less than a third they would allow during a normal holiday season. So not only do you have deflation and disinflation in consumer prices for food in China, you have demand absolutely crashing there. And this is something we can start to look at what's happening around the world's economy. And we see that China is one of the first countries that gets the end effect of this, because as demand from around the world goes down, well, you see internal demand in this world's largest export economy start to drop, because if consumers there have less income, well, that means they have less money to spend. And the reason they have less income is because the global economy is slowing. And pork demand has been sluggish for months in China, but it's continued weakness